And are you the representing staff then?
I'm Angela tonight.
Is Angela.
And Scott will be here.
Oh, okay. I guess I can give him a second then.
Are you in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we turn off the front lights at all?
Thank you. Just a hand up there.
A little better.
Am I okay to get us started if Angela's not here yet? Okay.
She won't be here. She's.
Oh, sorry. Maybe I just completely misheard you then.
No, sorry.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll call the April 3rd, 2015 meeting of the Design Review Board to order. We'll start with roll call.
Carolyn Adams. Tim Olson.
Here.
Nolan Morgan.
Here.
Brad Brown. Scott Reiser.
Here.
Dave Ressel.
Here.
Susan Bush.
Here.
Thanks.
All right. I didn't see any minutes to be approved in the packet. Tonight we have two items on the agenda, the first one being a continuation of the Design Response Conference from Lennar Totem Lake Apartments, and then following that, the East Side Prep Fine Arts Building. Are there any requests from the audience unrelated to the two items on tonight's agenda? Seeing none, we'll move to the first item on our Totem Lake Apartments.
Just a quick overview from staff. I have provided you a handout that Angela helped prepare. I'm Jeremy with Kirkland Planning Departments. Angela's on vacation. Highlighting the things, the direction that the applicant received at the last Design Review Board meeting, which essentially around scale, having to do with some improvements to the West Building. Largely differentiating it from the East Building. A number of directions regarding the pedestrian accessibility enhancement, a lot of those having to do with the corner treatment at 128. Kind of a similar topic on open space and landscaping about the gateway and also the need for some additional design details. Guidance on building material colors and details that relate to the frames and the differentiation between the two building segments. And then a number of additional materials requested. So I know the applicant has kind of tailored their packet preparation to that guidance, and at that point I'll just turn it over to them unless there are questions of staff.
All right. Good evening. I'm Brian Bellissimo. As Jeremy said, here to with Encore Architects on behalf of the design team and Lennar, presenting the Totem Lake Apartments. So I think we're all familiar with the kind of initial analysis in the early parts of this, but in general, nothing has changed from the site area, obviously. Residential units still approximately at 340 with 479 parking stalls. Our objectives have remained the same, and as Jeremy said, we've really been working hard on addressing the comments from the last meeting. So site location, just for those of you who might be in the audience and aren't familiar, we're located here at the corner of Northeast 128th and Totem Lake Boulevard, just up the hill from the new Totem Lake Mall development, just west of Evergreen Hospital. Some of the main points that we took and were working on from the previous meeting, massing articulation, we wanted to look at studying the color options for what we were calling the east and west L shapes of the build, or east and west buildings. The west to have more of a more vertical definition. We wanted to see varied parapet heights and how the top was terminated around the perimeter of the building. Exterior elements, we thought the frame elements were too similar, so we studied, greater variation in that language from the east to the west building. More detail on the finishes. We've actually brought in a finish board with us to look at some colors and materiality. And then further study of the corner, the feeling was that it was a little bit too acute and too bold. At the ground level, we wanted to enhance the sidewalk on the east and west sides, some tweaks to how the bike path and buffers worked for the lower level units, provide plant types with consideration of shade and drought tolerance, which we have a more detailed landscape package with some of that in it. And then, well, I already mentioned this, but improved landscape buffer on Totem Lake. So the diagram of the building really has remained largely the same. Looking, you know, coming from this S-shaped form with these large reductions from the courtyards that face north and south, this concept of kind of the more rigid or organized slow-speed side versus the kind of high-speed experienced from the highway largely on the west side. This idea of varied languages, again, kind of the eastern building establishing more of a grid, some breakdown in scale through some horizontal moves, and then this more vertical move that has started to be developed on the western building. Then the massing modulation opening in the exterior skins these carve-ins or carve-outs of the mass to produce the balcony conditions and moments of reduction in mass that help us organize the facade both for both the east and the west. And then this idea of the vertical bays starting to introduce themselves, which we'll see a little bit more in detail. So this is an axonometric of the building. As it stands, we also, one of the comments from the previous meeting was further development, a representation of what the roof looks like. You can start to see where we have mechanical units that we will be screening, and we have a detail of that later on the package. Also, the PV solar array that's located here kind of midway on the building, and then the roof terrace relationships for the outdoor amenity space. So the varied languages we've on the west L, or the fast speed building, we've completely gotten away from the frame element and started to look at this more as a planar element with this kind of playful language of vertical window bays. And then to take that a little bit farther, there's actual pop-outs of these angular bays that kind of differentiate in the angle that they're facing. So when we look at the varied languages that allow the upper mass to read as two independent structures, there's more vertical definition that's introduced on the western building through the use of furring and bay windows. The frame elements have been removed. Parapet heights are also undulating through these various panels that are now kind of that determining language around there. The eastern building has had some tweaks to it. Largely, the diagram is the same. We've introduced some higher parapets that help those kind of frame elements differentiate themselves from the recessed portions. And then we've also started to play with color in a little bit more detail on this, or variations of kind of a gradient of warm grays versus cool grays. The glass railing along this northern courtyard, what was kind of more of a glass wall, is now reduced to your typical height glass railing, minimum for code. And the landscape plan in relationship to that, which we'll get to, has kind of become more porous, allowing occupants of that terrace to inhabit that edge and really bring some eyes and activity to the street. So this is a view from the northeast corner. There's more detail on how things have changed along here. This drawing's more looking at the building itself. The landscape is more articulate in the colored plans, but you can start to see how we're using color to break this up even more. There's the eastern portion, this eastern L with the frames, has a gradient of warm grays that moves from dark to medium to light and then works its way around. And the center portion of the courtyard is then kind of that resting moment with a lighter white-colored facade similar to these frame elements. So this is a rendering, same view as before, just updated. You can start to read how the variation in kind of that gradient of gray tones starts to help differentiate these a little bit more. The parapet heights are varied between the frames and the recessed portions with that wood tone or warm material. You know, we've started to show kind of the reveal patterns was another comment, a little bit more in detail on how we want to see that organized. We want those frames to read as much as volumes as possible. So the parking ground, the lower level, this is the same as before. Not really any changes here. The entry sequence is similar. We've maintained that kind of lid over the parking ramp. Again, the kind of wrapped parking. So as this starts to become out of grade, we start to see units wrap in that parking to reduce any exposure of blank wall. The ground floor plan also largely unchanged. And I think, you know, in the past meeting, everybody was comfortable with the programmatic elements of all of this. Upper level floor plans, you can start to see some of the modulation that's introduced. We've worked on that corner, really kind of refining that, making it a little bit less bold, but yet still kind of acting as that iconic corner. Amenity locations are unchanged from before. So this is a composite roof plan that was requested at the last meeting. What we're doing here is showing in a little bit more detail that roof penthouse pops up with elevator access for ADA. There's a dog run located right here. And then, you know, the larger portion of our roof terrace is oriented towards the west, kind of for the sunset views. This is an egress path over to a secondary stair. But you can start to see the location of mechanical units and then the PV array. We've tried to locate mechanical units as much to the center portion of the roof as possible to reduce any visual impact for the facade. And this is what we're thinking for the mechanical screening units, especially the ones, located over here that's more kind of visual to the occupants that are on the roof. But what this would be is kind of a metal frame screen with a wood tone product, bring some warmth and start to relate to what is being used in the recesses of the building. So I'll turn it over to Mark to talk a little bit about the landscape. Go ahead. I'll comment later.
Sure. Just push these two things.
Actually, that's not working.
Mark Brumbaugh, Brumbaugh & Associates. We're the project landscape architects. Tonight, I'm mainly going to focus on changes to the plan from what you've seen before. One of the comments we had before was on Totem Lake Boulevard. It didn't feel very pedestrian-friendly, and I'd have to agree. We had an 8-foot-wide bicycle lane directly abutting a 10-foot sidewalk, so essentially 18 feet of hardscape at the curb edge. So what we've done is separate the bike lane from the sidewalk, and now there's a 5-foot planter strip with street trees. We had a comment about looking into meandering the walk. The reality is with the amount of room that we have in the right-of-way there and having a 10-foot sidewalk, any meander would have been, you know, minimal to the point of looking a bit silly. So we felt a better solution was providing a buffer between the bike lane and the sidewalk, giving, you know, pedestrians a little bit of buffer and respite from busy Totem Lake Boulevard. We were also asked to look at the other end of the project on the east side and to see what more we could do with the kind of mid-block connector there. And we were able to free up a little bit more space to give a little bit of meander to that walk and to fit a little bit more landscape on both sides of it. And then as that transitions down to the south there, we reworked that southeast corner with the little patio space and the walkways. Made the walkways a little bit more organic there, so it just has kind of a nice flow, so you don't feel like it's just bisecting walks in both directions. Got a little bit of curve into both directions there. Oh, I'm going the wrong way, right? So I'm gonna do this. Okay. This takes us up to the corner intersection, which we've reworked as well. Before, it had a radial pattern that kind of referenced the architecture at the base of the building. We've gone away from that and done some redesign work there to make it more kind of sympathetic and in coordination with the new architectural design. And also tried to provide some kind of playful seating type elements out there and open it up a bit more. We had kind of a landscape corridor, if you will, or collar around that space before that I think kind of inhibited pass-through of pedestrians and maybe was not quite as welcoming. So we've opened up the space, provided more seating type elements, like you see those stone-like pedestal elements in the middle image, and then the seat wall type benches as the other elements. And then carrying that theme along 128th, we've reworked that space as well to get some more landscape between the public sidewalk and the building and to create more seating opportunities. We've got this kind of entry plaza, if you will, that's at the front door, and it also happens to coincide with the bus stop on the street. So we thought that was a good area to provide some more hardscape, some more opportunities for seating, both people, visiting, coming, going from the building, but also, people that might be waiting for a bus. So just kind of a pause point along the walk there. The courtyards haven't dramatically changed, but like Brian mentioned, this is the north courtyard facing 128th. We have opened it up a bit more to reflect out towards the street, providing some bar counter seating out there and kind of repositioning some of the functional elements of outdoor dining and cooking towards the center of the space. South courtyard, largely unchanged. As with before, this is kind of our sunny courtyard, so more of the kind of sun deck space, where the north is a little bit more active. This is kind of the more passive space. Okay.
So we have worked with the artist a little bit more at a conceptual level. I don't know. So what we're looking at here is a conceptual basis on what Troy Pillow is proposing, these figurative sculptures kind of evoking this notion of gathering at Totem Lake, acting as this kind of main catalyst for community gathering. They have a kinetic element to them with this kind of rotating top that kind of engages the idea of activity. Right now, it's very early on in this stage. I think one of the ideas that we wanted to propose was that we may come back for this art element separate from the building as it gets more developed and kind of get your feedback in this initial stage. Locations we're kind of still working with. The idea of these kind of being this multiple element sculpture, we're proposing these initial three locations that might actually, in this case, the blue dots actually becoming part of that landscape strip that's introduced that kind of leads you into this corner. The yellow dots are kind of more of the idea of them inhabiting this actual plaza. And then the red dots up here to the north being that same idea of kind of inhabiting or drawing you in towards the entry of this corner.
So You're proposing one of the three?
One of the three, yeah. So it's kind of in discussion. In general, this idea of the kind of public amenity, the courtyard, as Mark has mentioned, is refined, and then introducing those art elements, some refinement to that kind of primary node at the bus stop location. We've maintained these kind of eddies along the commercial exposure of the building, these kind of pockets for public seating, cafe style. We've put a lot more work down into this corner where the future connector would go through to the mall. We've really tightened up that trash enclosure, pulled it as close to the building as possible, and providing a lot more of a landscape buffer along that, and then kind of broken this plaza up into more of a energetic or artful layout, as Mark mentioned. And then that meandering path has increased its meander as it goes down along here, adding some more buffer to both sides of that walk. So here's kind of a three-dimensional look at that. I don't know if you want to elaborate on that. So you can see a little bit here where we've really increased that, added that planter, again, this green screen along the trash enclosure. The dog park portion here, there's ample buffer from the residential units over there with some planting. This kind of little pocket park where you could, you know, watch your dog or sit there and chat. And then this kind of future connector can then meander off to this side. So an initial look at some of the planting palette. Again, a lot of consideration into kind of shade, drought-tolerant plants, et cetera. So materiality, the overall diagram or materiality, the palette of the building hasn't changed from before. And I think from the direction that we understood from the previous meeting, you appreciated the kind of timeless palette. There's not a lot of kind of vibrant colors that might go out of style, but instead we're trying to introduce a little touch of color through this variation of cool and warm gray tones, which on the screen show up drastically different than reality, so we'll pull these up. But again, the cool mass being on the west portion of the building, which I'll show you more in the facades, and these kind of more warmer tones on the eastern portion of the building. The secondary accents, this aesthetic white. It's a little bit of an off-white. We don't want to go too stark that it will start to show dirt. We've used this color in the past, and it's proven to hold its kind of white tone very well. And then the tricorn black being that kind of belly band element on the east facade, and then the bay window shows up in the bay window elements on the west facade. There's a corrugated metal panel that everybody was enthusiastic about at the previous meeting on that lower portion. It pairs with the modular brick and that with that dark grout. It's an iron spot brick on the street exposures. Again, that kind of wood look material. Right now we're calling it Resista. It's, you know, something of that similar nature. There's a couple different products of that we're open to. And then there's some exposed concrete at various portions of the garage exposure, but that's limited. So here's the north facade. Again, you can kind of, we've diagrammed out this repeating gradient throughout the frame elements. On the eastern portion, it'll show up a little bit better in the on the west exposure, where you see more panels or more exposures of that west building. The base element for the western building has introduced an increased amount of brick to help maintain the proportions. There was a feeling at the previous meeting that this felt a little bit too light, so we picked up on the bay window rhythm and dropped that down to introduce some mass at the base, but maintaining that kind of porosity through the storefront, a full-height storefront. It's about 12 feet. The building corner has become less dominant and less acute. There's a treatment that still speaks to the corner being iconic, However, this is carried out in kind of a more delicate form where we've peeled away these panels to kind of expose that inner, warm material and those balconies, kind of a little bit more of a delicate move. Here you can kind of start to pick up on that gradient of grays that works its way around. And then, as I mentioned, the courtyard facades, again, wanting to reflect light a little bit more, be that kind of comma in the building between the two languages, are largely that white motif with the stacked windows still maintaining consistency. Parapet heights are more varied. You can see in this elevation where these kind of panels move up and down, exposing that kind of black ribbon that maintains its way all the way across and then ultimately exposes itself at the corner. This is a good diagram to kind of see these two languages coming together. The amenity terrace is still in the same location. That's, again, moved away from the frame elements, but still offers that kind of reduction in scale or that recess in the building at the upper level. It's still special in that you realize that that's a balcony up there. That's more of a public space.
How deep is the balcony up there?
8 feet. So we've blown up some axonometrics just to see how these pieces of the puzzle come together. The frame elements are organized as these kind of containers. The parapet heights vary between them and the recess portion. We maintain the kind of ribbon of glass balconies that work their way in and out of all of this at the various recesses. And again, that kind of gradient. So this is a rendering. Probably looks better on the TV above me, but it's a little dark. An evening shot of 128 depicting that eastern building. So on the western building, we have these kind of clean stacks that pick up on some of the language of what's happening on the other building. But in this case, each one of those stacks has a bay window. There's a increased furring at each one of these, so there's a depth to each stack of windows. But in each stack, then, there's a bay window that kind of playfully works its way through these vertical window articulations. Some face north, some face south, some face east, west, depending on their exposure. And just, offers that kind of moire effect or interest to the undulation. This diagram really picks up on if you kind of move away from the larger moves that each of the east and west building look at, they still have the same underlying organization with the vertical windows. The window style remains the same. And then this idea of kind of taking this gasket element at the at the fourth floor and carrying that around. What is these larger kind of, what's between the frame elements on the eastern portion become more of a larger reveal on the western portion that breaks up that panel. And we updated our sun study, confirming that it is at our latitude and longitude, just to double check that. So this is that southeast corner. You can start to see how these bay windows pop out and start to kind of, quote, dance along the facade. Each stack has its own bay window at various heights and orientations. Again, it probably looks better on this TV. This projector is a little darker. At the corner, you can see these kind of panel elements of the variations of gray kind of pop up and down with the various parapet heights. And then at the corner, we've peeled them back completely, exposing that kind of inner skin or that darker color. And then where the full carve-out happens at the balconies, introducing that warmer color, a little bit of a pop of color, but something that's still timeless and a natural tone. These balconies have pulled back a little bit in scale, so they're not, it's, the corner's not all about them. It's more about exposing all the layers of this facade at one spot, so you kind of understand that. The art, again, we didn't put that in here just because we want to leave that up for discussion. But, you know, you could imagine those kind of sculptures coming up the hill and turning the corner, or all of them kind of congregated here at the plaza, or starting to walk their way down towards the retail space. So all these sections are, all the sectional diagrams in relationship to the street, or relationship to the ground plane, are largely unchanged from the previous meeting. So I'll kind of flip through those. And same with lighting and signage, same idea as previously. So with that, we'll end on this rendering.
Questions from us to the applicant?
Can I ask a couple?
Yeah.
Okay, the brick on there, on your rendering up here, it looks a lot lighter. Is it, can you put your, little hand? So that is all the same brick that's on this. It'll be the darker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And could you walk us through on the street level?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the paving plan that you have.
Yeah, let me get back to the landscape sheet.
Just want to know materials, mm-hmm. where they're going, where you're going to have pavers, where it's going to be concrete.
Yeah. At this point, we're thinking everything is probably cast in place concrete, but where you see color variation, it would be color integrated concrete. Maybe using some different finishes, using saw cut joints to get nice, clean, crisp edges.
Okay.
But cast in place.
It would be more than one color?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can see in this image right here, this is all kind of more of a mixed checker pattern, but these kind of three tones of concrete that differentiate themselves from the public.
So was that poured in place, or is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, those are poured in place surfaces.
Okay, and you've shown a picture of benches. What kind of benches are you thinking of? Are you going to use what's pictured, or is that just an idea of what you want to do?
I think it's an idea of what we'd like to do, but something other than just a traditional bench with a back.
Uh-huh.
Something with more of kind of a custom feel to it. Might be like a partial seat wall, a concrete element, then with a wood cladding.
And, okay, so I'm looking up there in the dark. So you were going to have square benches in the corner?
Correct. Okay. Yes.
Those are these kind of like stone cube elements.
Okay.
Pictured right here. The idea is that it's a little bit more porous so that circulation can kind of cut that corner,
okay.
and inhabit that plaza space. Seeing that the bike path kind of, since the bike path doesn't continue to the north really, it kind of dumps into this larger plaza. So, keeping some space there for pedestrian and bicyclists. So. Cohabitate there.
So the curb at the bike path is on the west side of the bike path?
Correct.
So it's up 6 inches above?
Yes, the bike path and the sidewalk are at the same elevation.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the roadway down below, where do you enter? I mean, do you jump up onto that or do you enter it way down?
Way down at the south end of the project.
So from there on, it, until somebody develops south of that, it goes back out to the asphalt paving.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, on this, this image, could you guys just tell us what some of the dimensions are, you know, across the plaza at the corner and then along 128th for the paving and the building setback? Just trying to get it.
Sure. The on 128th, the planter strip's 5 feet wide. The gray public sidewalk is 8 feet, so it's a 4x4 grid. The smaller grid pattern, the next smaller grid pattern is a 2x2 grid, and then a portion of it goes down to 1 foot. So it's kind of a declining scale as you get closer to the building. But predominantly the 4x4 and the 2x2 pattern.
So in this figure, where is the 10-foot setback line? On the right, that's...
So the 10-foot setback is
ten feet below the dot. I mean, the dot, it's below the dotted line. No, I'm sorry. Where is it?
This is the property line, essentially, right here, and then the building set 10 feet back from that.
And that's just a required setback,
right?
To give an adequate right-of-way. Is that, this is more question for Jeremy, is that considered to be part of the public benefit, or is that separate?
That's separate. That's just the setback. Setback that was established, typical of kind of a non... where retail is not required, it gives a little bit of relief between the sidewalk and the building.
Okay. So we've increased that. We've increased that setback at our main plaza here by an additional 8 feet, and then an additional, 2 feet along that kind of exposure there.
And then when we get, as we move to the east, then the sidewalk next down to a 4-foot sidewalk for. Where there's parking, is that right?
This curb cut.
The gray portion of it next down, but the actual sidewalk at that location, it's essentially sidewalk up to the face of the building, okay. And that's where the covered walkway is as well.
Okay. I was just looking at where you have these little seating patios and... So there's sort of a pinch around them where the parking area is, but immediately it widens then against the building in between. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's the retail frontage.
So I guess back to the corner then. So the dimensions of this corner plaza are, it's 10 feet setback or so from the property line, and then it's 20 feet or so, it's like 30 feet. Building to curb on the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, approximately.
Okay.
Can I ask a quick question? You know, on your, the cover picture, it kind of shows plantings up against the building at the corner. Are they there, or... Because this picture doesn't show it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the landscape plan represents the plantings.
Okay, so there is not on the corner, there is no greenery up against the building.
Correct. Okay.
So if we look at the axonometric then of that corner.
Which page was that?
It's 42. Seems like this curb might not be in the right place, is that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I think in reality, it's a larger space.
And do you think on the corner rendering, it seems like it might be similar, because it looks a little crowded there.
Was the corner in that represent, whoops. If you go back to that, is the corner treatment here a little different than the other ones we've seen?
Not, you mean of the building?
Yep.
No, it's not.
I don't mean the bottom, I mean all the way up with the balconies.
No, that's the same as the renderings. It's just that the landscape's not represented in here.
You're also looking at it at a different angle.
Yep.
So, sorry, if you can go back to that axle of the, that we were just looking at. So that when you, just to the upper left of the C, of the S on C landscape plan, that drop, that retaining wall drop into that kind of courtyard, not even courtyard, just that, that's about 6 or 7 feet? Because we're, it looks like we're at the head of the doors, is that right?
It's closer to 5 feet.
Okay. And those are still just basically it's an egress well, if you will. Is that what that is? Is there enough width in that to do anything for the tenants, or is it just?
There'd be enough room for a small patio space. Primary purpose is light well.
Okay.
But at the street level there is planning, not concrete. Isn't that right?
Right.
Right.
I mean, right. Where it goes down. One of your representations showed somebody walking along, and there are actually plants, I assume, there. Yeah.
Well, the plan implies that there's at least almost 6 or 7, if that's a 5-foot planting strip between the sidewalk and the bike path. If that's 5 feet there, then we're
there we go.
Five or six or more, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, a bit more than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had a few questions about the west building and just trying to get a handle on the differentiation. So the bay windows and the undulating parapet, the bay windows are, is that really just a furring? I'm trying to get a handle on the change in plane on this facade.
Yeah, so each window stack is an increase in furring.
So we're talking
4 inches or so. Okay. And then this is a true bay window that's 18 inches.
Okay.
And those pop out at a sort of angular, right?
At an angle,
and
yeah.
Not a true, you know, like a symmetrical bay window.
Right.
A more traditional looking one would be.
And then when you talk about changes in parapet height.
Mm. Yeah, the parapet heights then kind of undulate vertically throughout these kind of larger organizing panels.
But we're talking at 4 inches or 8 inches or something?
Yeah. I believe this one here is popped. This is pulled down 8 inches. This one's pulled up 8 inches. So it's about a foot and a half difference between those two. And then that kind of black band, headband around the building remains consistent as kind of an organizing factor.
Right. How tall is that, though? How much is that actually above those bays?
In like this location here?
Yeah.
This is 8-inch pull down and 8-inch up, so then that's kind of the zero plane.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to go back to the bay windows. Mm-hmm. Will you use your pointer and point out each of the bay windows?
Yeah.
It's just in our plans, it's really hard to pick out which ones.
There's one there. And there, that faces the other direction. And there. And there. So it's
each
there's,
column has one.
Yeah, each column has one at a varying of each floor.
How far does that stick out? The
18 inches.
18 inches.
Mm-hmm. That's our max per code.
So it's like 18 back to 6 or something.
Yeah.
could you go to the next page? And And this is an interesting idea, this idea that this level 4 has a connection, but mm-hmm. could you talk about it on the west building again? I mean, it's very clear on the east.
Yep.
So could you talk about the west and how that's expressed?
Yeah. So let me go to... So it's kind of a more... It's a nod to the east building, but more in a delicate way. We didn't want to erode these kind of overriding panels, but this would be a larger reveal that kind of weaves its way through and around that building to maintain that proportion. So not your standard hardy reveal, but more of like a 4-inch reveal.
So there's a change in plan. Oh, horizontal modulation?
Yeah. Well, just for the reveal, not the portion of panel between it.
Oh.
No, this is just kind of like a reveal line.
It's like an innie belly band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And are there two of them?
Mm-hmm. There's one here and one here to okay. kind of break that level out, similar to the proportions of where we pick up on that 2-1-2. And then you can see the secondary, you know, your typical panel reveals that are located in there.
Maybe it's just rendered to make it real tough to pull out, at least to my eye. Even the first time you were describing it, I was having a hard time.
I see it now. Yeah. I didn't catch it at first.
Yeah.
This view, you can really kind of get that sense of how these bay windows offer that, you know, kind of interest to the facade as one would be passing by with a vehicular experience, you know, facing north, south as they walk around. And the kind of depth that's experienced at each one of those windows that don't read, you know, in plane with your typical window.
Did you, since we're looking at this view, did you do much with the? It didn't seem like there was much changed around the community or amenity deck, whatever you want to call that, there on the west. Yeah.
The location didn't change. It used to have that kind of large frame around it.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's more of kind of just a reduction in this plane or subtraction.
Okay.
Similar to kind of how these subtractions happen between the planes. But that being kind of a one-off condition, we liked how that still felt like a special thing that you notice about the facade that isn't picked up anywhere else.
Can you go to the section on page 48? So in the enlarged next page area there, it shows, and then on 49, this is that section A, so it shows the, I'll call it the, I'll still use the term frame, but at the bottom of it is pulled out. In other words, there's a reveal underneath it, but then at the top of it, is it snug up against that black frame against the background of it when you get up to the top, if you go back to the previous page? So when you get up to the top of it there.
That's cutting through the amenity terrace
Go to page 48, one more back.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There. So when you get to the top of it, that's in a different plane than what's at the bottom? Is this not cut through the kind of the one of those, I'll call it the frame piece?
I think that's more cut through here. I mean, that's where that full parapet goes through. There's a change of plane within the parapet, essentially steps back in that location.
So when you move your hand back up to the top, so is there stuff behind that white piece, or is that flush up against the black piece?
No, it's out from the black piece.
It is.
The
upper there's not a space in between.
Yeah, there's not a space, but the upper parapet remains true, and these kind of drop down and pop up.
Okay.
You can kind of see it in that location right there.
Since you're right here, how wide is that brow at the very top of the black?
Right here?
Yeah.
It's probably 2.5 feet. This view kind of gets a little bit more at the bay window articulation.
It's a little change in topic, but what's the objective with a solar array?
It's a code requirement, energy code. But essentially what it does is feed back into the grid. It doesn't specifically power things in the building, but feeds the meter back into the grid for kind of a net power usage.
Would you, since we're looking at this view too, would you mind maybe elaborating a little bit more on what you've done with the the corner piece here, mm-hmm. the kind of the main corner of the building, so yeah. to speak.
We kind of see it as a summary of all these kind of layers coming together, where you know the outer panels kind of pull away, revealing this kind of inner skin, quote, call it that, with the darker portion inhabiting that top corner, really bringing not only cover to these balconies, but kind of a nod to that acute corner of the site, and then peeling that away as a secondary move, again revealing that inner, you know, kind of the pulp, for lack of a better term, and that inner warm material mm-hmm. that then clads that whole thing. And then inside here, the windows are more of kind of a picture frame or clean frameless element.
What are those? What are the little narrow windows there? Yeah.
Yeah. Those are little, you know, side lights essentially into the living rooms of these units. And then this is another window. It's the same unit at that corner. So, you know, standing in the kitchen, you kind of get a view out of this window. This gets a little bit extra light into the living space, and then that's the sliding door for the balcony.
So how big are the balconies now?
6 by 6, give or take.
How big were they before?
A lot bigger. Well, they used to have that kind of acute corner in them themselves, which we agree kind of read a little bit too acute or bold. So I'm not sure the dimensions of the actual triangle, but you know, at their deepest point, they're probably 8 or 9 feet if you measured along the hypotenuse. With this, we didn't want the balcony to be the story of this corner. We also don't want it to, you know, we want it to remain kind of mm-hmm. tasteful, since it's a private space. Like, we didn't want it to be so big that you could store things on it, kind of.
And what's the materials treatment there on the bottom of the balcony?
So these would be bolt
on the bottom of the balconies.
Yeah, these would be bolt-on balconies. We're imagining them painted the same color as these frame elements, so they kind of offer a little bit of a bright or light reflecting surface, and the other side would be a soffit material, like a
that'd be
white hardy. Yeah. The same is true with the balconies in general on the west building, are that more of a lighter color, kind of adding, you know, quote, jewelry to where these corners are, where these panels pull apart. It's kind of this connecting tissue. And then on the western building, which you can't see in this rendering, but those balconies are the darker color, carrying that kind of middle band through. Again, just same idea, but different articulation of the same, of similar language.
You guys good?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment? If so, please sign in. However, I don't see anyone stepping forward, so I guess we can step right into our deliberations. I don't know if we just kick it open or walk through Angela's list here, but I guess I would be... I'd be fine just kicking it open to whoever wants to start.
I'll jump in and start. I do like the changes on that corner. I probably was one of the loudest voices not liking what I'd seen before. The smaller balconies and just the restraint, I think, works pretty well. And at the base level, as I recall previously, there were some cylindrical kind of columns and then this faceted storefront that really set off that corner at a totally odd
entryway.
Yes.
And I like the way it doesn't look like an entryway.
Yeah. You still will see what's going on inside there, so I like that a lot. I still am not sure about the way the proposed artwork would work at the corner versus on Lake West or on Totemac Boulevard versus 128th. I don't know, that apparently is wide open for discussion, but and the landscaping and the little square cubes at that corner, I don't know if people are going to sit on them, if they're just sort of traffic control for pedestrians going through there, but in general, I do like what's happened at the corner element, so that was one of the biggest things for me. West building, I'm still not sure. You know, honestly, looking at the color differences, if you squint at it and take away the very slight difference in hue, they're identical. I mean, there's almost no difference between the east and the west, you know, color schemes. This cover sheet, page 4, that we see, you know, right here, is shown with a very imaginative sun that will never exist. You know, you can't get this casting shadows like that. So this would be on the south side of the building, and I can understand that. But I still think that when you view it from the freeway from the south, yes, there are differences in the way the frames work and the fenestration works, but I think the color is going to be so unnoticed. There's no different, not a big enough difference, in my opinion, for what you'll experience, especially on a day that doesn't have intensity.
Our packet makes it look like a lot more definition than the board does.
If those are the colors, again, my standard technique is squint at it, which takes away the hue of your eyeball, and you see value and a bit of saturation. And to my eye, there's not enough difference there. So I do like the east building, I'll have to say. I mean, I think that one works really well because it's viewed from a much closer scale, pedestrian scale. The west building still is, you know, I've driven up 405 a number of times, and you'll see it from the coming from north to south. You'll see it as you round the building across the street, you know, fades away, and you'll see this thing front and center. And certainly from the south, you'll see it just boom. It's right there, full frontal. I just think there needs to be more color change, color difference in the hue of the materials. So.
And now that I see the color board, I think the rendering was actually showing it the way it was the colors met my eyes, and the east building looked just kind of slightly green, and then I know it's all gray, but to my eye, it's almost more of a green, and then the west building was more of the cool gray, and because it was kind of a green and a gray, I almost thought that they weren't really, they didn't complement maybe the way they could, or contrast the way, you know, work as well together as maybe they could, but that was just kind of my gut reaction to it.
So on the west building, this corner I think is a big improvement, but I still don't think it lives up to the potential for the building. And the heavy brown, now this is a particular view, but I guess it's sort of representative of what a pedestrian might see somewhere around here, or what anybody will see. The heavy brow up there is kind of, I don't know, looks amateur to me or something. It needs help in my view, and somehow we'd sort of called for options in the corner, and the corner is a pretty critical item. And I think we could do better. I'm not sure how, but that's.
Yeah, I felt the same way. It seems very strong still, just very abrupt, especially since I think, you know, a lot of effort did go into making the rest of the corner more subtle. There's still a very strong statement at the top. And I don't know if it's even as simple as making it.
If you look at some of the other perspectives, because that was my first opinion when I looked at it over the weekend, was like, oh my gosh, this brow. But if it's only 2.5 feet, that's what my question was, how big is it? Because this almost looks like it's a 5 foot.
Yeah, I guess you compare it to the railings, even on the decks, it looks like it looks higher bigger than the railings, which are obviously more
and
than
I'm
that
wondering
big.
If it's that, because if you actually look at some of the pencil drawings, it mm-hmm. doesn't look as big, right. But maybe it does need some attention.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we look at from above like this. Course.
But we're going to be looking at it from
unless the perspective of this. License, so. I will say the other thing that from that perspective we were just talking about from the looking at the corner there again, the bay windows, I was kind of curious if anyone had any thoughts on that, because
I think they're a little awkward looking.
Well, that's
like a windows are open, you know, buildings with windows that open, like there's sometimes windows open and sometimes not.
And I have to admit,
if these
were in the last packet, I looked right past them because I didn't realize there was little things poking in and out there. And now I just thought, oh, I glanced at it wrong. You know, they almost look a little too
random,
like a messiness to it. Yeah, it's like I have this nice clean lines and then there's just almost looks like a glitch or something, an accident instead of, you know, a purposeful change. But that again, just my
I kind of like
person's
them.
Perspective.
Yeah, I struggled with that. I'm sort of a person that likes things organized and I can live with them, I think. But it took a little getting used to.
And it's a real picky, minor little point on them, but and I always think in terms of what happens when the rain, where does the rainwater go? The water that sits on top of those probably doesn't get guttered and downspouted. It just comes and drips down the face of it.
It's going to be streaking and eventually.
On this dark, dark stuff, it may be hidden for a while, but it may eventually show up as some real...
See, it looks better in your perspective here. I mean, I will say, because I'm picking out more of them than when I'm picking out in my... And part of it was that I almost wanted more.
Mm-hmm. A more differentiation.
So that I know it was meant to be rather than just one, you know, a floor, a row.
And maybe if it came out all... evenly, maybe that's where I'm getting caught up or something, I don't know, with these little triangular shapes when there's a lot of the other languages
and
rectangular.
The idea is good. I'm not questioning that. I'm just wondering if there was a way to fine-tune it so it wasn't...
If there's a way to what?
Fine-tune it so it didn't have that little bit of feel of awkwardness about it.
Then you felt more purposeful.
I thought on... And maybe you're limited by code to the 18 inches if the board was willing to consider grant. You have the authority to grant additional setback intrusion if you felt more bay was more helpful. It strikes me that you could get some glazing on the side panel. Perhaps
that might be
kind of
cool.
More.
Yeah, actually.
Mm-hmm. I think that would actually be an improvement.
Mm-hmm. Well, so that kind of brings me to my comments here. I feel like the ideas that were described are, some of them are pretty intriguing. But I feel like, you know, unfortunately, what should be bolder moves are limited to, looks like we can't lose a single square inch of leasable area on this project. And so we're, you know, struggling to modulate a building with only very minimal changes in plane, which I think is hindering the response a bit. And so I'm sort of craving a little more variation in the depths. So maybe, you know, taking advantage of the bays and being able to allow them to encroach more would be helpful. I would also say that I think, you know, we asked for... I really like the east building, I will say that. And I appreciate the efforts to differentiate the two. I mean, I think that there's a really, you know, that's being done, and I think there's a great direction. I think there's still a proportion issue with this one because we asked for vertical, we got it, and it, you know, the idea at the top of the, you know, the undulating parapet, I think is, I think it's actually something that would be very hard to see from down below.
Well, even in this, it still looks like a straight line.
Yeah, it looks like a straight line to me, so I'm not seeing the foot and a half. So I wonder, did you guys look at all at your, so your vertical forms, did you look at all at pulling them down a floor so that you actually had a dark band at the top? I think that might strengthen the concept and also help with the scale.
Maybe help with the corner there a bit too. Might help if there's a dark band being carried through,
especially at the amenity space instead of the frame going up real heavy.
That deck is just so to me very awkward. It's just this cove in, you know, and very long, and it's
for the first half of the day. It's going to look like a dark hole in the side of the at the top of the building,
it would disappear a little bit.
Well,
if they step down, if the brow were lowered, and just because it looks very strong to me, and there's still that real strong, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, that's.
I mean, I agree with you, Susan. The east building with those white frames that go all the way up, and they're very nice and consistent up there with the little step backs. But then this west building, if it just had the frames dropped down one floor, would work well.
I think it might help with the proportions.
Might resolve a couple of.
So I don't know if you guys would want to go that far, but it's a suggestion.
All of them drop down, so there's kind of that.
Well, I think, yeah.
Or maybe the low ones drop all the way down.
I don't know. I mean, you know, there's something about, you know, it's an honest building, and then it's straight and tall, right? So I'm not sure. I think it might be nice to just be consistent all the way around, and then maybe with that dark top might help the top recede a little bit. I don't know. I don't want to tell you how to design it, but I think it might be helpful, and it might, like everybody said, it might improve your corner. So those are my comments, and then I'm still bothered by the plaza and the, is it enough to warrant the incentive that's being granted? And to be honest, I was excited when I saw the sculpture, and I imagined it as being this linear sculpture park that was going to go all the way around. And I thought, well, that's a way. If you can't give the real estate to the corner, if it was sort of this linear element that followed the pedestrian way up and around, that might be.
Saying it's only three of them.
Yeah, I thought it was nine.
I kind of liked it. The only thing I was gonna suggest is that it carries around better than the way the yellow ones are. I liked them in the parking strip. I kind of thought that those were gonna be, you know, the blue and the red, and then.
Are two dimensional structures like I perceive these kind of dangerous in the walkway?
I don't know. And the idea that they could have a light, you know, be lit, or I don't know, or maybe they're not all the same, you know, they're not all the figures, but there's some intermittent, mm-hmm. you know, ped light or bollard mm-hmm. or something that kind of picks up the pattern but then carries it around. Then I thought, well, that could be, you know, for a busy corner on the highway, that might be intriguing. So, I mean, I like the concept of them.
One of the things I liked about it is if you look at the cover picture, this window area is very lifeless. I mean, and that was one of my comments. I don't think it's going to probably look like this picture, because you are going to see more what's going on inside. But with the dark brick and then the way this window play is going on, I think it needs something there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, plus, I mean, that's why I asked, is the planter going to go along in front? And mm-hmm. it's not. So take that out of this mm-hmm. picture, and it's even more lifeless.
Well, and I kind of was along the lines of like, in the general vicinity of where they'd shown the yellow dots as an option for placement, especially if there was some lighting on it, and it was, you know, kind of a, it'd help liven up where maybe the gym is dead in the evenings, or mm-hmm. or you don't want to look at people on the elliptical, yeah. You know. So at least there's something, you know, there is something more playful there that you're looking at as well, and maybe help activate the corner there a little bit better.
That paving, you know, all that cast in place concrete, my gut level, it's going to be an interesting warped surface, and getting all that saw cutting and everything to work out where we get the little cubes that are, you know, perfectly placed and all that to happen, I think it's going to be a real challenge. You know, if it ends up being, you know, pavers to break down the scale, that could still work in my opinion. But I
just because of the geometry.
The geometry is going to be, and you know, we changed the alignment there. It looks like just an arbitrary piece of the solid wall there that is, you know, you got to change it somewhere. So that probably makes as much sense as any place, but. Still, to as you wrap around onto the Ptolemaic Boulevard and it starts descending, that's going to be pretty tough to pull off that way. Kind of jumping to a totally different chapter, I had forgotten in my questions to ask the up on the roof. There's a whole little building up on top there, and the renderings, or at least the elevations, it just shows as just generic Robert Stern white. What is it? What's it going to be? What materials are up there? Did I miss it on the elevations? I think we actually see that especially from the south on the freeway. We'll see this little building up on top on your page. What is that? 39, I think. Yeah. So, yeah. Either one of those.
Which one? 39, oh, the elevation.
Yeah, so from the south, that's the west, but from the south, one, our pages are off, yeah. So what's that made of up there? What are those elements?
That's a wood frame, essentially. That's a penthouse for the elevator and the stair.
And is that all A?
Yeah, that would be the...
The whitest white?
The white.
Okay. Just the, with the dark black storefront glazing on it, okay. And the same on the elevator overrun, the tallest piece?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just trying to diminish it by not introducing something heavy up there in color.
Okay.
I don't mind. I mean, I don't mind too much. It's going to be pretty... bright in your face, though.
Can you go back one slide? There. Okay, this is one of my comments when I was looking at this. Okay, it plays that center section that's all white and just rows of windows, and in our packet it shows giant trees up there. So this is what it's really going to look like. It's a little plain looking in. Those trees will never get that way.
No, but I do think the depth, the fact that those, the south face of that north building essentially there in the gap is going to be far enough away that I think you'll get a good sense of difference in plane, unless it's a totally flat day with no form giving light of any kind, okay. You know, when viewed from the south and down below. But
it's pretty relentless. But
yeah, but that's
with and no.
It's where they got it.
I'm just wondering if you know, they just look at okay the banding at the top or something that might just it just seems very. Straight up and down, white, flat. I mean, it does look really cool in the packet because there are three-story trees.
Yeah. I mean, I think the base is just as challenging. It's built on for hundreds of feet, though.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I did notice that. Maybe that's a question too, that the corrugated metal, you know, the picture shown in the packet is the you know, the typical, I don't know what you call that pattern, the very consistent, the Pringles pattern, for lack of a better term, versus what's on the board, which is maybe a little more industrial looking. So is what's on the board precisely what the corrugated material would be? As in the form of it?
Mm-hmm.
Is the brick actually anchored brick veneer?
Yeah.
Well,
the problem is I wouldn't want to diminish the brick because we have so much board painted siding.
Oh, no,
I hate, even though it's long, I hate taking away from any.
Right. I'm not suggesting you do. I'm just. So, are we?
There is something that I want to know where the plants are going. I mean, they have pictures of what plants are going to be used. I kind of think that a plan that's going to be approved needs to have a landscape plan telling us what's planted where and quantities. And the other comment I'd make is, okay, you have a very gray building. You have a very limited green palette.
Well, that was one question I kind of had in my mind. It was, because there's a lot of, I mean, there's a fair amount of planning on the north side of the building, especially in the public space, just to understand how successful those plants will be.
I would know
that sort
if
of
they could tell us what was going where. I mean, they have a nice palette. The comment I would make is every builder on earth plugs in Cunningham white rhododendron. I would ask that they could do something better. It's just plain as plain can be. So it'd be nice if they told us what was going where and looked at the plant palette and maybe added some color and foliage to it.
Mm-hmm. And we have a full-on planting plan we can send over. Right. Angela has it. It might not have.
I think that's nice to have, too, just in the sense that it lets us understand what's there, but also to.
Well, it's hard because we see pictures and we can't plug in what's going where.
Mm-hmm.
I think it helps really define.
And sizes. We don't know what size is going where. So, and we have had projects where we got great pictures and then we got these little 4-inch plants. So it's a little essential to know.
Keeps everyone honest. You know what's was presented.
Yeah. Or are you thinking primarily on the main on the streets or in
the
courtyard?
Yeah, we don't need to know
well.
What's up on the rooftop decks so much.
We're talking about the right of way.
Yeah,
right of way.
Yeah. Right of way. The park back here.
The pedestrian model.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that fair?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It sounds
definitely.
Like that's already done. So hopefully that's
not
asking too much. Just.
I do like, too, what they did with the bike lane, having a... The other thing, too, it's going to match what's already there. I mean, right now there is a planting strip on the street, and the building across the street has one. So I do like what they did. I think it's very commendable and works really well.
I was just looking through the list of items here. I think for the most part we've hit everything. The one that was listed on here, and I have to admit I'm just recalling it from memory, but Angela had put it in her notes here. We talked about other options for frame colors. And
on the east building,
I assume is what we're referring to, because that's really where the frames are. And I know we didn't talk about options, but at the same time, I kind of like the color that they have as is. Me, from my perspective, I don't know what they would do.
Well,
what sort of options we'd want to see there.
Yeah, I think regarding color, I'm a little hesitant to say make it more colorful, because I don't want to go the pendulum to swing the other way and it to become too colorful. The six shades of gray is, it's interesting. I don't know how effective it will be. I don't mind the east building personally. I feel like maybe a little more color variation on the west might help with some of these elements that are in those vertical pieces, because, if there was just a slight change from the bays to the pop-out bays to the vertical banding, for example, maybe that would read a little more. But and when you guys ask for more color, are you thinking?
I think greater contrast
or warmer tones, or?
Yeah, and this question came out of just what was written. This was particularly the frames of talking about the building colors there. I was just sitting here thinking, if the east building is supposed to be more grounded, more pedestrian, more, all of that. If more, warmer, more earth tone colors, they would contrast more with gray. We have seen on a lot of projects, I realize, but to maybe make that building a little bit more out of the gray scale, to help it give it a little further definition from the west building. Just a thought that popped to mind while we were sitting here, but. Or maybe it's,
So, can you go to this, to the very first page, that the corner shot? Page 4. On that west building. So that, on that 128 side, I'll call it the frame, that we see, that's not the white color of the frame of the east building, correct?
Yeah.
Come to the west. So that high value, that is the white of the...
No, it's that.
That's what I thought. So that's that one. It looks really, really bright. Here, this is the north side of the building. It's never going to appear that bright. But it's set up against black glazing,
mm-hmm.
and the black glazing itself is set against which hardy or panel material? The same black?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So the windows, the bays, and the vertical
just become one.
Right, and then the back frame as well, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And those, and then the reveals are 3-4 inches deep, but they don't wrap around the edge then, or?
No, the idea is that would be kind of capped along the edge of that plane.
And those reveals are not, it's not a fry reglet, it's a piece of custom metal, or what is?
It's like a brake metal.
Okay.
Just that the brake's at level 4, right here and here.
Okay.
I think that's where it's a little deceiving, because they all look the same.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Okay.
In this view, but maybe so, if those pieces came down, maybe they would be at each, because
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't have that. It wouldn't be in the center.
But if the these kind of facade panels pulled down, you imagine the bay windows coming down with them, essentially.
So that, yeah, because you have a gap there, right? You have your bays on, let's see, level 3, level 4, and then up at, or actually it's 4, 5, and 7 is mm-hmm. where they occur, is that right? So they would be 4, 5, and 6.
And not up at the upper, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to say about the color myself.
I just think unless stuff is lit really strongly with bright sunlight or a bright, bright, bright overcast, the difference in contrast is going to be...
Well, especially after it ages a couple of years.
Well, it's possible, but it's repaintable. I mean, yeah. It's not like we're color core.
Do you mean between the buildings or within the buildings?
Even within the buildings.
I'd say more within the buildings than the two different buildings. I'm just wondering if they make minor changes of just a little bit of lightness to darkness, if it would make a difference.
Yeah, spread the gradient more.
Possibly.
Because what we're trying to go for is a variation without a blue and a red building, you know what I mean? Right. So it's kind of a more subtle variation.
So I say,
I don't want you to. Okay. You're right.
Okay. So how about the corrugated metal? That to me looks pretty industrial. Anyone else have a concern? It's only the south.
It's in the base.
Southeast east. Lower corner.
Yeah. And it's the renderings here are more attractive, I think, than the material.
Well, that's kind of what it popped out to me.
What page are you on?
I thought
46 on the left or 49 on the right.
Where's
the one that you
color?
For instance.
Yeah, I like the corrugated. It's more the traditional, you think of, you know, the wavy type.
That's not what I see when I look there.
Right, at least that's kind of why I brought it up. That does look more like it should be an industrial park, whereas this is, of course, industrial in its own way, but maybe more agrarian or something. Something that would be on a grain silo and not in an industrial park. But it maybe is a little softer, too, because it's a little bit smaller undulations and all of that. But you see it around every now and then.
I think part of, too, is that right now on the color board, it's the biggest piece.
Yeah.
And so, it
actually is. Of course, I don't know, the rendering also is a little darker color than that. I mean, that almost, now under artificial lighting, that, of course, looks fairly light, fairly white almost. And it is on the south side of the building. But I don't know, I just don't know if that makes any difference or not. Just trying to think of what it looks like out in the natural light.
I think there's a small enough amount of it, even on that south.
And the location.
And maybe it's underneath and it's shaded.
I think we have other areas that need to be. I don't think we touched enough on the bay windows to give them direction. Would we be willing to grant them a variation to at least experiment with?
Yeah, I think deeper. I mean, I think we typically are always open to that. So
I would, especially Jeremy's suggestion. If you get a little slot window that some see south and some see north, I think that would be.
And I'm wondering if that might cure some of the randomness of it. That is.
Yeah, it might make it look a little more in line with the rest of the rest of the design elements of the building. So, yeah, and I know typically as a group here, we've never shied away from, you know, encouraging a superior design, you know, or allowing a variance if it really is resulting in a superior design.
Is so. That enough guidance for you?
I think the increase in depth would definitely help.
Yeah. You guys would use it if we gave it to
you.
do we as a board think that one floor per vertical slice is enough, or?
Like
I don't know if
you
want
to
be that prescriptive. Or,
I would just like open it up to look at it and maybe see if there is something that might visually make it appear less random.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't mind just move more two stories tall. I think especially if they look at the proportion of the light elements, then it's going to change how those bays get situated, I think. So yes, we are open to that.
Mm-hmm. Is there a dimension we should specify?
Well, I don't know. I think that's what we were saying.
We can't prescribe to you.
Just know
if it's over
4 feet,
you have to sprinkle it. So.
Right. I mean, I would say if they are, they're vinyl windows, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So by the time you get the vinyl frame taken care of, the window pane needs to be at least enough so that it doesn't look like a mistake. You know, that's my opinion, because I see that all the time with vinyl windows is, mm-hmm. you know, by the time you get the frame taken care of, there's no vision glass left, so enough to do that. And maybe even some of them, it's wraparound at the corner of the bay.
That would be really cool.
You know, because but if you put, you know, solid framing there, by the time you get the nail flanges on, I agree, just let them play with it and see what we come up with.
Okay.
And I honestly would be open to having them extend further, even if they weren't able to get that window in the end. Yeah. I still think just having it
more depth
would be helpful to the...
Mm-hmm. Is there support for the angular nature, the triangle kind of? What we kind of liked was the idea of kind of the passerby in a vehicle. You get that kind of playfulness, where it's not just simply a popped out box.
Yeah, the shadows that'll be cast on them, especially on the south side, will be real interesting because you won't get just a straightforward pop out bay look to it.
Because I think what really started the conversation in the first place is to just what can we do or allow to make it not seem, you know, like a mistake. So I don't think it's necessarily the angularness of
maybe, you know, we'll experiment with maybe a couple more just because that was my, and I don't want to get to the point where we are prescribing, but it just seemed the random nature of it. I almost wanted, my eye wanted a little bit more so it didn't look like a mistake.
So if they stay randomized, maybe more of them. But if not, some type of organization.
Mm-hmm. Ordered randomness.
Okay.
If we could use some more paradoxes to really help you, I'm sure that would be helpful.
The original intent was that, you know, the East Building is kind of that very organized frame, grid. And then this kind of is the antithesis of that.
I think you just push it a little further so that we can actually see it.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I wanted to clarify what we were talking about quite a while ago in terms of the top brow. For instance, if you look at page 46 on the left, what are we suggesting here in terms of the panels, the white panels that have different elevations when they, you know, they come up to different heights?
Yes, so
that's 46 on the left.
Mm-hmm.
I think, one of the things we were talking about there was,
I mean,
if they vary the heights of the elevation, well, maybe it's twofold. Correct me if I'm misstating.
Yeah, I actually wasn't saying to vary it. I was suggesting
that. No change to that particularly.
But what I was suggesting, and I'm struggling to find the right page, Dave, but is that.
It's their page number 46.
This one.
Yep.
Corner
under. I was suggesting that if these light vertical pieces actually came down a floor. So that the top floor, the dark upper floor, ran behind to help with the scale of the side of the building. And then it would take away this.
The inco.
Okay, I missed that. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So that's what I was I was thinking they would just come down uniformly, not necessarily be going up and down.
And I guess.
But I would say, you know, whenever we suggest something like that, it's still, it's not meant to be prescriptive, sure. So it's still up to you guys to work it through.
And I'm still confused. I heard mention that black, the dark horizontal band that sits behind all this stuff is 30 inches?
Tall.
Yeah,
the brow is 30 inches.
If that's 30 inches, then those railings are less than 30 inches, which is not right. It appears to be way, way bigger than that, and it still, in my mind, looks to be too big.
Yeah.
The one for me that is a dead giveaway is all the way back on page, 15 or hour 18, perhaps. And it's that axonometric from the southeast. When you look at that brow, that cornice piece, you know, hanging out there, looming out over the stuff. That's the one that really strikes me. It looks
a
lot bigger than, it looks way bigger than 30 inches. And I think that's getting back to, I think Dave might have started the discussion, and it just kind of feels too out there still.
Maybe it just doesn't need to be there.
That's what I've always thought.
Just come back.
Yeah. So. I do like the use of that, of the wood-colored, wood-toned resistor, whatever it is. I think that really is going to help everywhere on all these buildings, on all sides of it, I should say.
Use more?
It's expensive stuff, I know, but... Yeah. That's all I've got.
We didn't... I don't know, did we talk enough about, are we happy with the, kind of jump into the other, to the opposite side of the entire project, the little park back there in the southeast corner? I mean, it's a very difficult thing to work with.
It's another public amenity, and we're pretty lean on them.
I think it's fine.
I think it's fine. I just want to know what all the plants are that they're going to do, and that would help.
That comes back
in our discussion of what is back there. I think more than anything, it's going to be used by people in the building
until, if or when, other properties get developed there, and it may still only be building people, but it will be others from not this project. So,
Then. To the extent that the garbage enclosure can't look like the really cool photo that's included with, you know, the green screen on all sides, when you head down that path, you're going to see doors to a garbage enclosure that hopefully they're done. And finally, when you get around to the side and the back of it, you'll see some really cool green growy stuff, and the park will become more of a place rather than the getting there, which is... You know, theoretically, fire trucks and lots of vehicles and all sorts of stuff on a hard, hardscaped driveway.
I mean, I think we've asked each time more there. And
I think it worked fine.
I think I've exhausted anything I had to say on it, too. If we don't have anything else, I guess I'll ask the applicant, do we need to read back through everything, or do you have a good idea of the... Jeremy, any questions from staff?
Sure.
Supplement from my notes. I think starting on the scale in the West buildings, some issues with the weight of the brow still at the corners, just still feels too heavy. Some consideration of still something to define the top, including maybe dropping the lighter panel down one story, just explore that as an option, or something similar. Board's willing to consider minor variations to create more depth in the bays in consideration for glazing, maybe more bays. Let's see. The planting plans needing an actual planting plan with quantities, locations, and sizes. Explore adding more color and foliage.
Jeremy, is it too much to ask to know what the paving plan really is going to be?
Nope.
In that corner.
Especially that's on the corner.
Yep, that's fine. It's a paving plan.
And more detail about the art element, because I think, in fact, the art element is probably the primary public benefit at that corner.
Mm-hmm. One thought on the art, it's all shown on public property. So that tells me two things. One is our public works folks need to take a look at it, and it's probably relevant to involve the cultural council into that conversation, because putting art in public places is their bailiwick. So it could just be a condition of the board when you're ready for final.
I was also wondering, you know, I was looking at the placement of it, you know, especially in the planting strips. I just know from planting trees, I'm so limited, especially at corners. Would that be an issue?
Well, I think where the bike lane and the sidewalk are all at the same grade, so on the west side, I think that's probably pretty workable. On the north side, it may be a bit of a bigger concern because of its proximity to a travel lane. But again, I don't. That's mm-hmm. something we just have to talk to our engineers about.
Well, or potentially it could move to the building side of the sidewalk.
It almost wouldn't be so bad, too, if, I mean, you have those green cutout areas with the benches, if they played along the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm. Along the sidewalk or even in the planting beds? Or
yeah. There and then, yeah. Because they kind of have that cool pedestrian look, you know, like people interacting on the...
Mm-hmm. And I don't have a good note about color and hue and saturation, so you might want to chase that down a little bit more if you have specific direction on the west building to provide.
Yeah, I think that if I heard it right, maybe a bit of the takeaway was, you know, if we could even just play with the contrast between darker and lighter colors, not necessarily maybe the color palette itself. And someone correct me if I am wrong in that summary.
I think that's a fair statement. With color boards, I try and always get the colors in the correct proportion to what will be on the building. That's very difficult with this one. Susan's right that the, you know, the biggest piece there is the corrugated, but that gives one a much better. And unfortunately, this is terrible lighting to be judging color, but my experience is that there may need to be a little bit more contrast for that west building, especially on the north side, which does not have much direct form-giving light. But I agree. We're not looking for primary color, parfait, gobbledygook. That was never my intention.
And did I miss anything? Cover everything you heard?
Did we mention the increased bay depth?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So now, I guess any other?
I think that was everything that I had jotted down. Help remind me, for our Robert's rules here, do we have to move to?
You need to
continue.
We need to continue, and so the dialogue starts of, is this enough stuff that you'd be comfortable with them just bringing it to the next meeting rather than us sending a packet out in advance?
For myself, I'm okay with that, but I'd ask if everyone
else
is.
Okay. Sometimes I look at it on the computer, so I don't know. Well, almost every time I look at it on the computer.
So maybe we could get it posted the weekend before. Yeah.
That's perfect for me. Because I do it on the computer as well.
Okay. So then the question to the architect. How soon would you be able to come back? We have a meeting on the 17th of this month and a meeting on May 1st. And then we go to May 22nd.
I think we'll do that. Well, how soon do you want it before the meeting?
I think we just have it maybe the Thursday before the meeting.
So like the 12th if we did the 17th? Mm. Oh, wait, the 13th.
The 13th?
Yeah.
Week from this Thursday?
Yep.
Don't shoot for that?
Yeah.
No pressure from all. Okay, so continue it to the 17th.
Have a motion?
So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. We'll continue to April 17th.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Well, we're an hour and 47 in. Does anyone need a break or?
About 5 minutes.
5 minutes? Okay. All right. I think we're probably ready to go. Second item on the agenda is the Eastside Prep Fine Arts Building. I'll turn it over to staff.
All right. We're here on the second Design Response Conference for Eastside Prep's Fine Arts Building. Before you are our list of questions that you outstanding questions you still had on the project. I've outlined them based on your discussion last meeting. Please follow this as you're going through the project. Also, on the back page is the additional materials you requested as well. The Eastside Prep is prepared for you. Over to you.
Yes. Thank you. Ready? Hi, everyone. I'm Bob Baldwin with Eastside Prep, and I wanted to thank you all. I know it's a long night already for you, so we'll do our best to be quick. It was great that you could get us back in so quickly. We appreciate that. We want you to know that we've worked pretty hard here to respond to the comments that you guys have made for us. Our team has had a few sleepless nights. Jeff in particular, and Stephen and Danielle and ton of work for us trying to get this shaped up to try to hit our crazy schedule. The TMAC building has been mentioned to you guys before. This is our first project inside your new zone, and it was pretty, it's been a game changer for the school. It's a lovely building, and we're excited to be a part of the new zone and the new design process here, and we feel like this building did a great job of getting us rolling. We're looking forward to shaping up this community little by little. We are a little different, you know, than what you guys maybe envision for the community. We're a school, and so we don't have some of the needs that you have in a in a apartment retail community. We're much more inwardly focused. And then we're challenged by some constraints of the community itself. And I wanted to remind you all of those. We have property lines that surround our existing buildings. And as much as we've tried to encourage the community as a whole to adapt to the new zone, they're still stuck in the 80s, most of them. And it's a bunch of individual owners other than the school. And so it's hard to get the entire Lynbrook community together. We're also very safety-minded. I think you have to keep that in mind. It is all private property, and we are trying to keep the kids safe throughout the process. Our neighbors, this is our most, it's our new neighbor, right? This is Kirkland Crossing. And these are buildings that are taking the first pass at, took the first, they were the guinea pigs for your new zone. We feel like we get a chance to shape it a little bit more. this is our old world, and hopefully over time most of this will go away. But PACCAR is also a neighbor, and PACCAR's got a big giant parking lot across the street, and I don't know if they have plans anytime in the near future to change any of that. Our streetscape is very lush and rich and mature. There's a good bit of chat about the trees, and this is our east boundary line. This is in the summer. We have some nice, rich plantings. There's evergreens as well, as you can see, as the deciduous trees are there. And most of these trees that you see, all of these trees that you see in this photograph will remain inside our plan. I'm going to let Jeff take the wheel here. And hopefully he's still awake. Yeah, he still is.
Of course. All right. Thanks, everyone. I'll just jump right into it. But I wanted to start by just orienting. I know every discussion we talk about what face are we discussing. So east, northeast 38th Street is on the east side of Project East, we're calling it. Project North, Project West is where the play court is. Project South is the TMAC and the plaza. And just cueing behind Bob here, this is our streetscape during the winter, and it shows some of the sense of the site. This monitor is a little tougher, but the building there is basically our property line. It is our property line. So that's where our new building is set. And this is a summertime view, summer springtime view. Again, you can see the building where our site is. And our site is downslope from the sidewalk, probably about 8 feet or so. So we're just trying to get you guys all into the site here. What we want to do is focus on the notes that Scott sent out and really try to zero in on the discussion points that happened last time and do the best we can to really show you what the items are that or the responses we've made to really try to resolve some of the questions and discussion points that you all made, and hopefully you find that we've attempted to address all of those very directly. This is our existing condition on the Project East. And because we didn't give you guys a chance to see the packet ahead of time, we wanted to show you where we were at the time of the last discussion. We heard the board's concerns related to some of the color and some of the transparency and modulation. And so the design team has taken a step back and really trying to take those views to heart and re-look at the material palette, but not throw the design away, obviously, and really look to create a more rich, varied material palette and keep the integrity of the design. We've done that with looking at a darker siding that provides a little more contrast. Before, you recall, it was more of a muted gray color, primary siding. This siding is much more dynamic in changing light as well. as it reacts to the sun, and I'll show you some examples of this sighting in a few minutes. The profile is also gives it a varied experience as you move around the building. We've added glazing, especially at the ground floor. You probably can see it better in the monitor behind me, and I'll show you a rendering here in a second without the trees. So our ground floor is over 60% glazed. So as a pedestrian, you experience a very transparent, welcoming, and active building. We've increased the glazing at the corner at this, what's the choir room, and really took away that solid corner. I'm going to point to this screen here. So we've really kind of eroded this corner and added quite a bit of glazing here, really trying to kind of increase the presence of that choir room and really erode the mass at that corner. And we also eroded the mass up above on the third level, so you start to get this kind of shifting of aperture through the building.
How did you erode the mass at the third level?
In terms of the right apparent the mass with the corner window, which was the suggestion of one of the board members. We've added articulation, and we've added some color. It's hard to see with your monitors, unfortunately. Hopefully the printouts are better, where we've added this kind of stitching of accent yellow. Again, we want to be careful about having too much yellow that competes with the TMAC, but really give a little bit of punch and a little bit of stitching to the siding. We've added some wood accents, which I'll show you in a second, under some of the overhangs where they're protected and where the pedestrian interacts with the project. So here's that same rendering without the trees as requested, and you can see the significant transparency at the ground level. You can also see in the below the music room on the north side, we have an accent with the canopy, a yellow canopy behind. And you can see the yellow windows along the upper floor and along the music room towards the north. We've really tried to soften the corner, as we talked about, added this accent stitching and given a few moments of color contrast. We've also made the atrium windows anodized aluminum, which you don't see in this rendering, but gives a little bit more contrast to the color palette.
Are there, just a quick question on the accent windows. Are they, it looks like they're typically all at one level, kind of along the same center line.
Correct. So we found strategic places for the stitching, and trust me, we looked at the scattered color all throughout and it really was busy, and there was jokes about bumblebees and things like that. We really felt it needed to be nuanced. And that, again, with the significant amount of transparency in this building, you're going to see a lot of color and life from the inside out, as you saw in that image from the TMAC early on. This image shows you that transparency at the ground level all around. This is the south and the east side. How the building interacts with this plaza that starts to interlink and activate the space between the LPC Commons, which currently is the heart of the exterior portion of the campus, and the TMAC. And as you also recall, the TMAC has an amphitheater. So really this building is looking to kind of make a very welcoming and dynamic experience at this plaza level. It's the south elevation is, I can't remember the exact number, but it's maybe about 80% glazed. And that glazing goes to 12 feet high. So this is very significant transparency. This corner meeting room is for community meetings or people coming in to visit and tour the school, learn about the school. And it is a very public space. You also start to see, and we're going to get into more detail as we go down the road, but there was some input on the plaza, and we've really taken that to heart. We've added some raised planters, steel planters, and some wood benches to really try to soften but also activate that space as well. This is the previous material palette, as you recall. And we're proposing a darker anthrazinc product. This is currently being, this building's under construction. This is the Nordic Heritage Museum, some renderings from that, and then an actual built project with it in the lower corner. And we're doing basically the same thing that's shown in this Nordic Heritage Museum, which is to provide standing seam metal of different modules. And one of the things that's fascinating with this darker material is how it interacts with light reflection. And if you've all experienced the dark building standing seam, yeah, you can pass that around. Here's also a material palette. Danielle has, this is not the color, but that's the profile. That's the standing seam profile. And on Tim has the material board that has the sample of the materials. The accent panel is aluminum. We have accent of cedar wood, again, at the plaza level. We have accents of yellow. And then the windows are a combination of black, yellow accent operables, and anodized aluminum at the atrium. So really trying to create a much richer, more dynamic material palette after the discussion that took place. So this drawing is showing the, as you all recall from last time, Susan requested that we show the siding more accurately in the modules. This is showing, what we're attempting to do is create a varied pattern of modules, but then shift them floor to floor as well. So this is drawn to scale at a 12-inch module, 16-inch module, and a 20-inch module. And we think at the scale of this building that those modules will give quite a bit of life to the project. If the budget allows, we are going to explore a narrower module as well, but we think it works successfully with the current modules. Here's another look at the material palette. Yellow accent, the anthracite zinc primary cladding, anodized aluminum accent panels, window systems, we talked about wood cladding. And then at the roof terrace, we have green screen planters that wrap the occupiable roof terrace. We're going to have a combination of concrete and wood pavers and some metal bar grating. And then our mechanical screening is going to be a perforated corrugated metal, and we'll look to just make that in a recede. Catch up here, notes. So this is the existing site from the play court to the west. And this is the previous design. And there was some discussion about a desire to have more landscaping, more buffering of the facade, both between the play court and the building. Some additional plantings was desired, and some reduction or buffering of the blank wall in the northwest corner. So you can see in this rendering, and I'll show you a plan here in a second to describe it a little better, but between the play court now and the ramp that takes you down to the art studios, we have a raised planter and bench. Creates a nice edge, and we think this is a much nicer resolution of that space. And we tried to do a better job of representing in our renderings the landscape proposed as best as we could. It's a tricky thing, but I think Stephen did an amazing job. One of the things the school has done is purchase 3 mature specimen cedars that will be transplanted to the site. They are currently 16, 18 feet tall, I believe, and they should grow another 3 feet.
They're 16 feet now.
16 feet now. And those are in the northwest corner. I'll show you this in plan in a second. We added a significant amount of windows into the stairwell to help activate that stairwell and then break down that elevation. And we did a better job of representing the roof terrace above, which a board member requested we do. So you can see this in plan that at the northwest corner, We have the three mature specimen cedars shown in that landscape buffer, which is never narrower than 6'7" on that corner. Between the play court and the ramp taking you down to the art studios, you can see the raised planter with benches activating the space and trees also providing a buffer to that space. There was some discussion of the view from 520. This is a screenshot from Google Street View. This is the summertime view. We also want to talk about the pedestrian experience of the west side of the project. This is, as one experiences it, walking around the La Quinta. And again, this is summertime. You can see the nature of the trees from this perspective. And this was our previous proposal, as seen from the bridge going across 520. And this is the new proposal with a richer color palette. You can see the stitching of yellow. You probably can see it better in the monitor above me. Really just trying to give it a little accent, and that band of windows will really become an element of a beacon of light for the campus. This photo is probably, would have, you know, when you cross this bridge, you actually experience the window wall of TMAC a lot more than, obviously, this photo only shows you the west facade of TMAC. And so, you know, we feel like the combination of those two elements are really a great beacon for the school as people drive by. One of the board members asked us to further look at the plaza design and made some very good points about the quality of that space and how we could improve that. And so this is the existing space. We're standing underneath the continuous overhang of the TMAC, looking back to the project site. Up those stairs is the LPC Commons. And as you recall, one of the great opportunities in this project was to create an accessible way to go from each of these buildings through from where you enter down to the play court, which currently is not accessible. This plan is zooming in on that plaza to discuss some of those points made. We had more concrete benches. We've replaced those with raised steel plate planters at key locations, but where we want people to assemble, we've maintained elements for people to have some repose. There's going to be a lot of traffic, we feel like, through here, and this creates a nice little gathering. We want to encourage kids to really occupy this space at the heart of campus. We can see kids gathering informally, and this really starts to connect to the TMAC amphitheater, which is fully glazed as well. So we have some raised planters to soften the space. We have this great existing tree here that we'll look to uplight, and I'll show you the lighting plan in a little bit. And we've added some wood benches throughout. And you can see some examples. This is actually an existing wood bench that are peppered along the perimeter of the TMAC undercover. So this was the previous rendering. And this is the new. So again, you can see the raised planters, adding more landscape, but still maintaining this idea of a public gathering space for the kids. And then you can also see where we've added wood accents, where they're under cover, protected by the overhang, and where one engages the building. I'm reiterating my point, but you can see the level of transparency, both physically and visually, that we're attempting to create that really plays off the TMAC and the LPC. The LPC has big garage doors that certain time of years they can open up. This will have a big nano wall at the atrium that they can open up, really trying to give the school the opportunity to make this as dynamic of space as they want. And again, that space is really going to be enliven and play off of this amphitheater. A board member requested that we provide a site lighting plan. So this is a combination of, there's going to be a lot. What we didn't show in this plan, I would recommend you look at the monitor above me. One thing that's hard to represent in these plans is the amount of light that comes from the building itself. And I'll show you another picture of the TMAC. But in addition to that, we will have some pedestrian lighting. We have lighting that wraps around the building at the covered soffit, south and west. On the north side, we have some wall-mounted sconces to light those pedestrian areas. And then within the walkways, we have some bollards, both in the east side along the kind of more informal path, as well as entry plaza with some tree uplighting as you enter the campus. And then we have some bollards that take you down from the plaza back to the play court. The lights, some of the site lighting is Lynbrook standards. So there's a couple parking lot pole lights on the east side. Those are Lynbrook office standards, as well as the bollards. And this got a little bit cropped, but these are the bollards. And this really shows you how the architecture, at least the architecture we're trying to create, really creates a lot of the ambient light, or a lot of the light at night, and really kind of creates a nice, safe environment for the kids. So did I leave anything off? We do have some supplementary materials for the average building elevation. I apologize. That last diagram, actually, that we showed you was the average grade plane, which is the building code diagram. We do have the average building elevation diagram. I'll give you a copy, Scott. I can pass it around if people want to look at it. And anything else?
So our hope tonight is that we have satisfied your concerns. We can talk about them a little more. And if there's issues that you'd like to bring up, it'd be great if they could be captured in a condition like we did the last time with you guys toward the tail end. And so we'd really like to see you guys give us a big hug and call it a night.
If I could just ask what I'm sure is a very dumb question right off the bat, because I missed. I was here for the last meeting. We didn't talk much about the. I looked at my directions. I already forgot it. The north side. We didn't talk much about the north side of the building. I know there was the last. If I'm recalling correctly, last time we had met or talked about this. There was some, you know, more to be resolved there. And have we already addressed that? Or I apologize. I'm just trying to refresh my memory. Maybe it's just late. So the north side of the building, I was taking it to be where the entrance to the parking is on that side.
So we were trying to keep our presentation as concise as possible. Here's the view of the north side.
Okay.
And you can see here, for example, that we've lightened up the atrium windows.
Yeah.
So they're the anodized aluminum, so you get a more contrast. Mm-hmm. You can see the stitching of yellow on the operable windows, which also will have some play as you open them.
And that had addressed some of the comments from one of the previous meetings. So.
Yeah.
I'm just making sure we kind of talked about the other three sides quite a bit in this one, so.
And these two large trees that are kind of ghosted out are there and remain. They're part of the community. And those two large cedars are, they are cedars, right?
They are cedars.
Well, we bought them. I hope you like them.
Yeah.
So we don't have any more of the white inset frame windows?
No, once we had the yellow, we felt like it might start to get too busy. So we calmed down the rest of the windows so that the stitching became more the accent. We're open to discussion, but it's that balance of dynamic versus having a little bit of calm.
And real quickly, the slide that was the shot from the Bellevue Way overpass, looking at the two, the T-Mac and this one. In the previous version, the grays of the main, you know, vertical stuff look pretty similar grays, and there's a pretty substantial difference now, correct?
Right. Right. We've tried to up the contrast.
Were they previously, were they going to almost be matchy-match, but not quite? Was that?
Right. It was a little bit more of the subtle palette.
Yeah. And now it's a pretty distinct contrast. Okay. I have no questions other than that.
Good.
Dave, you good?
No.
All right. I already got asked my two dumb questions, so I guess we can open it up to public comment. Is there anyone? I can't see through the podium, so I assume there's no one over there. Okay, well, then we can move into our deliberations. Again, I guess we have our sheet here, too. We can sort of walk through it, but also, you know, if anyone just wants to start out as well.
I'll start.
All right.
I think there's enough life in the building, you don't need yellow windows.
Okay.
I don't know. I think that the building's really dynamic. I like the way they changed the first floor. That's the only thing that bothers me is that I think they'll stand out.
I guess I, you know, maybe I'm one meeting removed, so I'm speaking out of turn. The only thing I'd say is it was, in some ways to me, it did kind of tie back into the other, to the T-Mac, which has kind of that, obviously on an incredibly different scale, a huge...
See,
sort
I think
of
the huge
element.
Scale, I think, is the difference that works because it was more part of the architecture, and yep. I think the stitching is, I think you have a contemporary elegant building that has a lot of life in it because it has a lot of glazing now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Would you take them back to just
I would
match?
Do black.
You make a good point. I was initially thinking, well, I kind of liked it, but I see what you're saying. There are a couple other places that we see yellow, just little glimpses of it that, you know, could tie back to the T-Mac.
Is yellow a school color? Yes. Okay.
Yeah. You can see it, though. You can kind of see
how
it.
How strong? Are you guys just really strong on it? See, that's what I'm wondering. If it's, did you like the yellow windows, or was it something that you were trying to please us with?
It was a combination. We had to come to a conclusion of something we liked. We did not want to present something we didn't like. So what we proposed, we like. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
We studied a lot of options we didn't like.
Is it the same yellow as the T-Mac?
Yes.
Flange?
Yeah, I could live with it. I was just hoping it wasn't one of those plays that they do to, can we get this passed if we do this?
Yeah. And I have to admit that I saw it, and maybe that's where my question came from, as I was thinking, well, it looked, instead of the bands, if they patterned it, you know, mixed it up, more random or something, and, you know, before I even got to what my obvious lead up or follow up question was going to be, you know, was we looked at that, and that didn't sit well, so
I just think
maybe
all the changes
well
they
either,
made
so.
Satisfied everything. I mean, the presentation between the two buildings is softened and elegant. the first floor with the wraparound window is just very, you know, soothing to the eye now.
Mm-hmm. And it may even be the yellow windows don't even come into play, because like you said, there's so much, it's so activated, it's so light, so full of, you know, activity in life that you're not catching the little yellow window up there. So maybe it's, like you say, more of a detriment than a benefit.
If it's there, if they decide to keep it, does it bother
you? It would be something that I would let go. But yeah, it does bother me.
It'll be the first thing you notice when you go look at it in person.
It's like a school.
Yeah.
It's just a little touch of yellow, so I don't.
I would say if they decided they didn't want to do it,
yeah,
I would be okay with it.
Okay. I like the yellow much better than even the white. I think the white.
I didn't like the white.
The white seemed like just a toss.
Just thought the dark was nice.
I'd say the yellow is, you know, it's soft enough too that it doesn't even wrap all the way around the corner. You know, it's just on one side in each of the cases.
No, it's on two sides.
Right, but I'm saying it doesn't on the, when it's on the, I'm going to get my directions wrong again, I'm going to say east side, the front of the building, it doesn't wrap around.
Well, and I actually didn't mind the yellow when they had it on the first floor on the big wall.
Oh, okay.
Because it was a big patch of yellow, and then they changed it to, it looks like a cream color.
It's supposed to be wood.
It was wood.
Cedar. Okay, great.
What was that?
It was yellow on the first floor, and I didn't mind that. And then I was kind of going, what did they change that to? It's wood tone.
Okay.
I have a question to the applicant that kind of might key in here with this. Are the insides of the windows, are they allowed to have things on them? I mean, if they're classrooms, do they have projects and stuff that's taped up? Or is it just static? And
no. Pretty much forbid anything taped to the windows,
okay.
but we end up having walls filled with artwork.
That's so okay.
Yeah.
We kind of encourage seeing things inside the building.
Yeah, when we look at the TMAC, we've got these really tall windows, and we have lots of whiteboard walls, and they become display walls and all kinds of things. The kids.
But they're removed, they're back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we do have blackout shades that drop down, but they get tucked up inside. We have to be able to lock down the school.
I mean, I can see the yellow windows is something that, you know, the class photo or group photo, kids just go park themselves in front of the yellow windows. They become a piece of the fabric of it. So
I think I would rather, I like the contrast. So when you said they could be black, I actually I wasn't too much a fan of the white. I like the yellow. It couldn't be better. I wouldn't mind if they were the anodized.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If they want that contrast, but I this is all we have to
talk about. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good problem to have.
I'm curious if the entire frame of the window needs to be yellow, or if there can be sort of a, not a pinstriping, but just a little whisper of yellow that isn't quite as.
It may play out as a whisper at a distance.
Yeah, I think it probably is.
Okay. Because I assume this is painted. I don't know anybody that. Or are these aluminum, or are they?
Fiberglass.
They're fiberglass?
So it's
got to be painted then. Okay. Yeah. I like the new material, the darker, and whichever 1620, if the custom 8-inch module can happen. I do have one question, though. It seems as if the pictures of the Nordic, because this is a pan material, it's roll form, so it can be 20 feet long. Are we still going to do the floor by floor with Z-flash to separate so that you can shift the grid slightly? Is that what I'm seeing?
Yes.
Okay.
So before the discussion goes a little bit too far, I just wanted to bring up a point along the walkway, along the north facade. I'm looking at page 15 of the proposed plan. There's a design requirements would require an overhead water protection along that walkway that's going up the ramp. And the board does have the discretion to modify that with their decision. It's it's our pedestrian access section of the zoning code.
So it's a code requirement. Anytime you run a walkway up against a building, you need to cover it. But if you're in a design district, the board can modify the requirement as part of the design process. So it's best to air that out here.
Can we
speak to it a little bit? Mm-hmm. So this is not only... This particular walkway on the north side, I think, is what you're referring to. Is mm-hmm. that right? Mm-hmm. It's not a place that we want to encourage gathering. It's a safety issue for the school. It is the end of the campus, and we really want to see kids on the interior side. And so we would prefer that we either move the sidewalk out to the away from the building, which I guess would then meet the intent of the code, or we get a departure on this issue. It is the main drive aisle, and when we do our drop-off pickup, cars circle right through the entire campus. They go around the back of this building and up and out right past here. So we're concerned about it being a gathering place, plus the rest of the community probably would prefer that our kids weren't playing ball out in the street right there. So
you have cover on the south side?
We have cover on the south side. We have cover on the northwest corner, which is a more rational place for cover because that will lead them to the sport court. And we have cover on the southeast corner, right?
The whole west is covered as well.
And you have an accessible route.
Correct. We have multiple. Yeah. And that's one nice thing about that walkway, but it's not meant to be a primary entrance. It's really meant to be.
It would be an exit more than an entrance. And it is nice to have it there because it does add an accessible route. So maybe a departure would be more appropriate.
So,
ideal.
So where does the drop-off actually happen? Do they...
At the play court.
Right at the play court.
The students then come up the stairs.
No, sorry, I'm not on a mic. But so only in the morning is the play court open to traffic.
Okay.
So this allows them to queue all the way around the campus without being on 38th. Okay. And then they let off here, and there's an accessible route up through the
place. So this is, the cars are already in motion, just heading back out.
After they dropped off. And then but there is the parking entrance for staff.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree. Especially when it comes to where how you treat it going past the. I don't want to lose a nice open corner there with all that glazing, and then it looks funny if there's
if it has to go in, it has to be up so high it becomes almost useless because anything other than just vertical rain, if that's what it's for. Otherwise, it comes in part of the way through
it's
the glazing system, which I don't think works.
Trying to encourage pedestrian mobility anywhere you have buildings and sidewalks interfacing, but it doesn't make sense in all situations.
But this probably isn't the main barrier-free access. This is just essentially just required for an egress to get out. And okay.
It sounds like there's consensus, Dave. Do you have any issue with that variance? Okay. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that resolves that then.
Yep.
I know it sounds like the windows are maybe the only thing we really got hung up on, the color there.
Yeah, I don't have anything, and I would leave it to the applicant. It's their call.
I mean, just looking through the list, which you know, stemmed from previous discussion, I think we've hit on every topic that has been highlighted. Is there anything else, Scott, that as far as the code goes that you had open, or is it just the walkway covering?
That was the only thing that I had on my list.
It sounds like we don't have much. I guess I should just ask, just to make sure for 100% clarity on the window color, we're good with leaving it to their discretion, black or yellow, or
anodized.
Or anodized, those three colors, not white. Okay.
Yeah.
Then
I move for approval with the one condition that it's their choice on the windows. Is that a way to phrase it? Okay.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved? I guess that's approval then.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Despite my lack of sleep, it was worth it. I forgot he asked for hugs.
Only other thing is just if you have anything for us.
Nope. Do take note of there's a. If, I guess it's the second meeting in May is a little wonky for scheduling purposes on our end, but we'll remind you of that. It's the third Monday instead of the second.
It's the 22nd instead of the 15th.
Yeah. Thank you.
What will be the project?
On that one, it's Patella Village.
Oh, okay.
So that'll be fun. And now we have an agenda item. And I didn't. At least there wasn't anything listed yet on the 17th. We have Lennar now coming back as of tonight. So.
I think that will be the only item in the business. So.
Okay.
Could be a short meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, I just mentioned I'm gone on spring break that week, so I don't know. I'm sure everyone else will probably be able to be here, but
should be.
Mm-hmm. I might miss that second meeting in May. I'll be just coming home from vacation.
Which Monday was?
The 22nd.
The 22nd, yep. Mm-hmm. And if that's it? Anyone want to
make it home before 10? Seems on.
Anyone want to move to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Nay. None, I meant to say. Adjourn. Oof. I'm just coming back from adjourn. Oof. I'm just coming back from adjourn.